Thank you, Carolyn, and we will answer more of your questions later on in the show. But now, NASA describes Kepler as their first mission capable of finding Earth-sized planets around other stars, and it seems to be doing a very good job. In the journal Nature earlier this month, NASA scientists announced the discovery of a unique system of six planets orbiting very close to their parent star, Kepler-11. I spoke to Dr. Jack Lissauer.
The findings that we announced in Nature are related to just an amazing new planetary system, which has six planets that we know of. We've seen all six of these planets transit across their star, and we've seen that from the Kepler spacecraft, which monitors the stellar brightness. And we know there are six planets because we have six patterns of dimmings as these planets block a portion of their starlight. These planets are all medium size. They range from about twice the radius of Earth to about 4.5 times, which is a little larger than the planets Uranus and Neptune. So they're not really giant planets like Jupiter and Saturn and the majority of exoplanets known, but they're not terrestrial planets either. They're a lot bigger than our Earth. Now, all six of these orbit very close to the same plane. So this is a very flat planetary system. Also, all six of these orbit fairly close to their star. And that's one of the really amazing things about it. Five of the six are closer to their star than any of the planets is to our sun. And even the outer one that we've seen would lie between the orbits of Mercury and Venus, were it in our own solar system. We know, in addition, a fair amount about these planets. We know the sizes of all six, and we have good estimates of the masses of the inner five because they exert a measurable amount of gravitational pull on one another. The way we measure this is by the times at which the transits occur. If you have a single planet orbiting a star, if it transited, in other words, if we were in the right plane to view it crossing the face of its star, those transits would be strictly periodic, like clockwork. But because these planets tug on one another, they slow each other down, they speed each other up, and from the amounts of those changes in the times of transits by something like 10 or 20 minutes compared to orbital periods, which range between 10 days and 47 days for the inner five planets, we're able to deduce the masses of these planets. They all turn out to be fairly low in density for their masses. None of them are big rocks. And at least three of the five have substantial atmospheres of hydrogen and helium. There's just no other way to explain how they could be so large but have such little mass, except for the inner two, which might have a lot of water, although it wouldn't be the liquid water form that we're used to on Earth. It would be a high-pressure fluid, or other things that astronomers call ices, like methane and ammonia. Again, not in solid form, but in some fluid form.
Kepler itself is looking at 1/400th of the sky, I believe?
That's right. So it's a big field of view compared to other telescopes that are comparable in size. The Hubble Space Telescope has a field of view only about 1/10,000th as large, but still it's a small fraction of our sky.
And actually teasing apart the information that you need to work out, especially with something as as unique and interesting as a six-planet system, that must be a very difficult mathematical jigsaw to actually work out what the little dips in light as each planet transits, what that actually means.
Well, you're right. With six planets, it's fairly complicated. But the basic mathematics is simple. It's what Isaac Newton discovered back in the 17th century. Still, in order to fit all the times that we observe the transits with one another, you need fairly sophisticated computers.
I mentioned this is a unique discovery. Most exoplanets that we've found, and I'm finding it very hard to actually keep up to date with how many we've found, most of them seem to be on their own around their parent star. What's so special about six planets? Do we expect to see these clusters out there?
Well, six planets around the star is something very unusual for what's been detected. There is one other system with six planets and possibly one other one that has been found by the radial velocity or Doppler method. But that's a very different system. It includes one body with a period of less than a week and another one with a period of longer than 5 years. So they're quite spread out, whereas the six planets orbiting Kepler-11 have periods, all of them, between 10 days and 120 days. So the really amazing thing is how closely packed these planets are to one another. And not only had we never seen anything like this before, we didn't even expect the planets could be this close packed, or at least that they could form this closely packed.
Planetary formation is often described as being quite a violent process. You would anticipate that this many planets forming so close together, they're going to bang into each other, they're going to be thrown out of orbit. But it seems that because they're all in a very level plane, this must have actually been quite a peaceful construction of these planets.
Well, you're right. There is this contradiction. And the only way it seems to work out is if during the later phases of their growth or of their migration to the positions they're in, because they could have well have grown farther from the star and then gradually migrated inwards, there must have been something to take away the energy, to damp down their eccentricities and inclinations. This could have been small, solid bodies, things like the asteroids that we have in our solar system between Mars and Jupiter, except there would need to be a lot of them. Or it could have been gas, a gas that is part of disks around young stars out of which planets form. And I'm saying the gas in this case because the gas is almost 100 times as massive as the dust from which the cores of giant planets as well as terrestrial planets are made.
Is there anything special about this particular star, Kepler-11, that could indicate why it's got such an interesting system around it?
Well, there's nothing really special about this star. It's actually a star very much like our sun, almost the same mass, almost the same temperature. It seems like it may be a little older than the sun. It seems like it may be in a slightly different population of stars, formed earlier in what's called the thick disk. So it's moving very rapidly relative to the sun by almost 60 kilometers per second. Because of this motion, there's a non-trivial difference between the periods, orbital periods of the planets that we measure and the actual periods. And that difference, although it's well under a percent, is still larger than our uncertainty in the measured periods.
One thing that we've mentioned before in Naked Astronomy as being a subject that astronomers are trying to answer, a question they're trying to answer is our solar system normal? Is there anything we can learn from the Kepler-11 system that helps to tell us whether we are special and unique, or whether, in fact, our models of how planetary systems form are correct or not?
Well, it's a very interesting and complicated question, because when we look out at other planetary systems, we find an amazing diversity. And we don't even know if there is something that could be referred to as a normal type of planetary system, or whether it's just a vast variety. But Kepler is designed to answer those questions, especially the question of how many planets are out there that are similar to Earth, about the same size, about the same distance from their star, that they could host life. And what Kepler-11 tells us about that is, because there are ways to form planetary systems with planetary orbits so close to one another, it might be possible to have systems with multiple nested Earth-like planets, much closer to one another than Earth is to Venus or Mars, and therefore so that there may be three or even four such planets in the habitable zone where life, which requires liquid water, as all life on Earth does, is able to flourish.
So what will be the next stage, both for you in your work and for Kepler in general? It's running until the end of 2012, is that right?
The Kepler mission is nominal mission, goes through late 2012, but the spacecraft is performing well, and we are hoping that there's an extended mission, and that will allow us to do a variety of additional science. It will allow us to detect Earth analogs around far more stars, and it will allow us to get much more information on the planets we've already detected, such as those around Kepler-11. By that, I mean we'll be able to have much better estimates of their masses, because we'll have more of these transit time variations. We might be able to detect additional planets beyond the six we've seen so far, either because they transit but are so small we need to add up a lot of transits in order to see them, or if they orbit near transiting planets but have orbital planes that are somewhat tilted and don't transit as seen from the solar system, we still could detect them because they may perturb the times of transits of those planets we do detect. But for all that type of information, we need more data. And we're hoping that our little spacecraft will continue to operate for many years beyond the nominal end of mission date, late 2012.
Jack Lissauer on the future of the Kepler mission.